So the last couple of Sundays, we've looked into the scriptures to find the basic components and ingredients of fellowship and what fellowship entails in a local church. And we've discovered that God's mercy and love creates a people who both listen and talk to God together. A church, the word church, means assembly. There are people who gather together physically. And a biblical church gathers around God because of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the center of that gathering. As we together listen to God and talk to God, then that should have effects on how we relate to one another. So let me give just an example on that. Last week we talked about talking to God or praying to God, which means that God is a God who listens. Isn't that phenomenal? Like, the creator over all, the eternal, infinite one, listens to us. He hears us. And so, if you have been saved by God, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says of you, you have been born of God. You are now his child. God's seed is in you. And so now you have, in a sense, the DNA of God to then follow in his steps. Because he is a listening God. Because he is a listening father. Now we get to be listening children. And that's what the point of this sermon is today. To be a listening people. To listen to one another. Because God listens to us. Now, this past week, I sent out messages to various people across the age spectrums in our church, and I asked them to share with me why they think it's important to listen to people. I wanted to hear from people what, like, their top reasons were in particular. And before I share with you what their responses were, I want you to take a moment. You have people sitting around you. You share with each other over the next minute or so. Why do you think it is critical, or what is the main reason to you why we should listen to people before talking? So just talk with each other for a little bit, come up with your answers, then I'll share the others. Okay, so you've probably heard some different answers that people have been given or giving you. So I want to share with you answers that I got. These are, I'm paraphrasing the answers, trying to put them together, but there's several of them, so I'm just going to read them. One, God says so. That's a very utilitarian person with that answer. It's loving. You can't know others without listening. You're ignorant of details if you don't listen first. It reflects Jesus who listens, even though he knows everything. It values the person. It's an act of humility. And not simply valuing the person, but valuing the other above yourself. It builds trust with others. Listening without talking also trusts that God is the one doing the work, or the primary mover in the work. We want others to listen to us. Do unto others. It helps give a better understanding of someone's motivations. Now, I reached out to these people, and I gave you an opportunity to share why listen, and I heard a lot of voices. It's as though we have this innate understanding that listening is important. We know that it is important to listen, and we know we ought to listen to others. But how many of you would say you struggle with listening well? Okay? Many of you. Have you ever seen this illustration before? I think this illustration can be helpful. Here you have a man who's trying to save a woman off this cliff, and she can't see the rock that's crushing his back, and he can't see the snake that's biting her arm. Both of them, in this situation that they're both a part of, don't know the pains and the hurts that each are experiencing. And they could become quickly judgmental of each other. The woman who's hanging there could be saying, "Doesn't this? Why can't he move just a little bit more to grab me and to pull me up? Doesn't he care that a snake is biting my arm?" Right? And he could say, "Why isn't she just pulling a little bit? I can't move. She doesn't even care that I'm being crushed by a rock." But they don't know what the other is experiencing, even though they're in the same circumstance together. I imagine that a lot of disagreements, a lot of relational struggles between people happen because of a lack of seeking to understand first. In our own struggles, in our own pains, in our own daily lives, we don't take that time to seek to understand what's going on. And we need to learn the art of listening. And in our culture today, I think the art of listening is extremely countercultural in many areas of our culture. Because our current culture is one of constant declarations. It's constantly declaring what you think about something. I mean, if you open up social media, everyone is stating their thoughts, their views, and showing their lives as they want you to see it, right? And I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It probably has. It's happened to me. I've heard it from other people. But maybe you're perfect. But have you ever had situations before where you're scrolling on social media and you see something and you're like, "Oh my goodness," click. And then thankfully the Holy Spirit says, "Delete it." You ever have that experience before? Oh, and then I'm like, "Yeah, but God, I really delete it." Okay. Right? Because we really want to speak. We really want to give our thoughts. Our immediate reaction so often is to want people to listen to us rather than listening to them. And today, sociologists who study America are stating that our country, our people, are becoming increasingly polarized from each other, treating each other more like enemies. I think our society is experiencing what the nihilistic philosopher Nietzsche said a couple hundred years ago. Those who fight monsters should be careful lest they become monsters. I find it very ironic that it's the nihilistic philosopher who says this, because he's stating something that essentially comes straight out of the Bible. When the Apostle Paul is talking to the Galatian Christians and talking about how the Galatians are to address each other in sin, the Apostle Paul says this: "Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." Be humble, or else you're going to become that. See, of all places and of all people where there should be listeners, even those who listen to their enemies, it should be the Christian community. The Christian community are the people who God has assembled for mutual ministry to listen first. This isn't merely countercultural to listen. It's divine. And this is a calling God has given to his church throughout the ages from the very beginning. I mentioned this last week. I've mentioned this in other sermons as well, but that word submit in the Greek has connotations, word pictures of giving your ear to other people. So it's interesting, even 2,000 years ago, when God has called and assembled a people together, he says they will know who each other are. They'll know their commitment to each other because they give their ear to each other. It means to give your ear in order to follow through with it. And so you find commands in the New Testament: submit to one another, the another's with whom you're one. Right? And submit to your leaders. We should be known as a listening people. Or even as was read earlier by Lees, the Apostle James says, "If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself." and your religion is worthless. A defining characteristic of the local church is to be a listening, submitting to one another people. When we lose the ability to listen, we forfeit shining God's love to one another and the world. But you could say, okay, why is listening so important? And if it's so valuable, how can I grow in listening? And those are the two questions I want to answer this morning. Why is it so valuable? And then how do we do this? I have been challenged, encouraged, strengthened, hope-filled by studying for this sermon this week. Months ago, when I put this sermon in the spreadsheet that this sermon was going to be preached this day, I was like, I know where I'm going with it. Monday morning, I was like, what in the world am I going to say? And then as I studied more, I'm like, oh my goodness, this could be like a lot of sermons. I just hope and pray, though, that the encouragement the Lord has given to me, that he shares that encouragement with you as well. So we want to start with, why should we listen? And the first point I want to give is to reveal our salvation. This reason and the next reason for why we should listen are my favorite reasons, and I hope they'll be yours too. But what does it mean we should listen in order to reveal our salvation? Okay, think about it. You were saved because you heard a message. In the Old Testament, one of the times when God talks about cursing his people, the curse is that he gives them a famine of hearing. They're not able to listen. They're not able to hear, comprehend, understand the message. That's the curse. But God lifts the curse on his people when they're able to hear, when they're able to actually listen. God opens their ears. And so I want to remind you of the sermon a couple of weeks ago. If you recall, the first parable that Mark records of Jesus in his gospel is a parable that starts with the word, do you remember? What does it start with? Listen. And the whole parable is about how people listen. And there's one kind of person who listens and receives, right? And then there's three other kinds of people who some kind of listen and then the other doesn't at all. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We were saved because we heard. And there was power in the hearing. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Notice that verse begins with the word so. That word so means therefore. That Paul is making arguments, and he's like, okay, and so therefore, the result of what I've just said then means faith comes from hearing. This is a powerful statement, because I could ask you, how do you know you're saved? And many people will say, because I believed. And that's true. If you believed, then you are God's child. But Paul goes another step back and says, how did you believe? You would not have had belief if God did not unstop your ears and open them up and say to you, hear. Just like God did in the creation when he said, let there be light and there was life. God said, let there be faith. And there was faith. And they heard. And they believed, but they heard it. You heard, you listened. You heard the glorious message of Jesus, this message that we were singing about. I was moved when we were singing the songs just a little bit ago. Were you? I mean, thinking about, let me go back. Oh, praise the one. Where, have patience with me. There we go. By grace alone, somehow I stand. Where even angels fear to tread. Invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above, he pulls me in with nail-scarred hands into his everlasting arms. When condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am. The Lord is here. Oh, praise the one. Praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally so I can boldly I can approach your throne. Blameless, I'm running home. Why? Because we heard this message. This message that God the Son took on flesh and came into this earth. And he took the punishments we deserved on the cross. He lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died and suffered the death we deserve to die. And he conquered sin. And he conquered death. And he now gives no condemnation to those who trust in him. And he's risen from the dead, conquering all sin and death. And someday he's coming again and he's going to restore all of creation. You, if you have believed on Christ, you heard that message at a point in time. God opened your ears and you believed. It's because you heard. This reveals our salvation. Listening was the conduit for our faith. So why listen? For that reason. For another reason. To imitate our God and Savior. A couple of people in our church brought this point out to me this last week. We see at different points in Jesus' ministry how he listened to people and let them speak, even though he knew exactly what was in their hearts. At other times, we see how Jesus didn't just declare something first, even though he knew, but instead he asked questions to have the person put their heart out there. Not only this, but even now, the scriptures tell us through the Apostle John in 1 John 2, Jesus is our advocate. The word advocate, also helper. This doesn't just only mean that Jesus is praying for us or speaking for us on behalf of God, but this is a relational reality that our advocate sees, hears, and knows us, and therefore he speaks on our behalf. Jesus is spending his existence listening to us and talking on our behalf before the Father. We hear throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament how God bends his ears down to his people. He takes our tears and puts them in a bottle. He hears and treasures us even in our pains and our sorrows. Or we find in Romans chapter 8 of the Holy Spirit that we have groanings too deep for words, and the Spirit converts those groanings. He listens to our groanings, and he converts those groanings to prayers on our behalf. Our God is a listening God. He's a talking God. He speaks, but he's also a listening God. And if our God and Savior, who knows everything, is patient and lovingly listens to us, how much more should we listen with patience? So Ventura, our salvation comes to us because we have a listening God who opened our ears to listen. And so in his mercy and love, he's creating a people who listen. We listen to reveal our salvation. We listen to imitate our God and Savior. We also listen to show love and value of others. Jesus is the one who said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to know someone, if you want to value someone, if you really want to love someone, you have to know their heart. And the only way you can know their heart is if you listen and ask questions to listen more. And as you listen, you'll find out about them. And as you find out about them, you might find out things that make you feel uncomfortable. Have you ever had that before? Or on the flip side, you might not want to share your heart with people because it might be uncomfortable. Have you ever had a situation where you got together with some people and then you get in the car and you're like, I am such an idiot. Why did I even say that? Anybody do that? Why did I share about that? Because we're fearful. We're fearful of what they're going to think, how they're going to respond, how they're going to react. But here, there's beauty in this, especially if the other person heard your heart come out and they love you in return and accept you. There's the opportunity, right? That I would show love and value of the person, even in the awkwardness, even in the tension. We sing a song sometimes that the lyrics go, you see the depths of my heart, and you, what? Love me the same. You are amazing, God. May we be a people who follow in those footsteps, to see the depths of other people's hearts and love them the same. As the Apostle Paul even says, we are to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. The kind, tenderheartedness that God has shown to us in welcoming us into his family is that type of kind, tenderhearted, forgiving heart that we should have towards one another, because that shows love. It shows a value of others, an esteeming of someone else as more significant than myself. That's what Paul says in Philippians, is the mind of Christ. So, we listen to reveal our salvation, to imitate our God and Savior, to show love, and to be wise. You want to be wise? Be a listening person. The Proverbs are full of statements on this, so I'm going to read a host of them here. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Let me just stop here. How many of you generally assume you're right? Oh my goodness! We're all fools. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now that doesn't mean you can't be right about things, okay? But the wise person might even say, okay, I believe I'm right, but I'm still going to listen because I could be wrong. Right? Okay? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. A wise person is ready to listen. Or think of Proverbs 15, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. How many of you like it when people confront you? Me either. Oh my goodness, we are fools. Because whoever ignores instruction despises yourself. It's not good for you. But you listen to reproof, you'll gain intelligence. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. How many of you have been in conversations with people where someone's sharing with you something and you are so ready to tell them what amazing advice you have inside, and you're just waiting for them to stop talking so that you can say that thing? Anybody? I'm telling you, man, we're failing, right? Because the purpose of a man's heart is like deep water. It's not that easy. A man of understanding, putting together the Proverbs, someone who's going to listen is someone who's going to be able to actually go the depths and pull out what's really there. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. I just got to make sure you know. It's like what I just said earlier. We live in a culture, in a society, where people are more concerned about you listening to them than them listening to you and others. To be wise, to grow in wisdom, we need to embrace the art of listening. Listening to God and listening to one another in the local church. Right? Because as we've even learned in the scriptures before, that God, the Spirit, works through his people, to his people, to minister his grace to his people. So that's why we need one another. I need the wisdom that the Spirit is working through you to me. You need the wisdom that the Spirit is working through me to you. And that's why you have in the New Testament, submit to your leaders, submit to one another. We need each other. Imagine a group so affected by Christ's love and mercy that they listen and draw each other's hearts out and love each other with a patient love. Now there's a lot more reasons I could give for listening. I'm just going to end with this one more. And that is to live by faith. To listen requires that we recognize we're not the Savior. And that God is at work in deep ways that we cannot see. Who is the truly wise one? Jesus, right? The Apostle Paul says, he became for us wisdom from God. Jesus is the man of understanding, and he is the Savior. And he promises that he is at work in all of his children to grow them in faith. Do you believe that? If we believe that, then we have the freedom to shut our mouths. Isn't that amazing? We have the freedom to listen. Because we know even through the listening, it's an act of faith saying, I trust you, Lord, are at work. I trust you are bringing the heart out as it needs to be brought out. To live by faith means we'll be a people who listen. We'll take the Apostle James's words, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, where we're more prone to be slow to listen, quick to speak, quick to anger. Oh my goodness, I'm so frustrated with you. Let me tell you what you need to know and just listen to me. The amazing grace of God sets us free from that. So we see these reasons why we should listen. But I think we'd all still recognize, I can know these reasons. I can know these reasons. But it's still going to be difficult to do. Any of you with me on that? Like, I can will myself and go, I'm going to do it. And then I fail. And I'm going to get in a moment to how do we listen well? And again, there could be a lot of points on this. I'm going to narrow it down into a few. But even in talking about how we do this, all of this needs to be bathed in prayer. Like, walking by faith means that we live in dependence on our Savior, which means we need to be praying, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me to not speak. And then when I do speak, help me to say the things you want me to say. Because we're going to be judged for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, the Bible says. I want to exercise precision and care because you love them. And I want to show your love to them. And so, again, before I get into this, right, I want us to ask, when we say, how do I listen well? We should be praying. God, I need you. Let me be amazed that you listen to me. Just savoring that. And empower me to listen to others. And learn what you have for me. Because by the way, when you're coming into contact with other people and you're listening to them, it's not only, like, we can make a fatal assumption that when we come into contact with another person, it's God who's wanting to work through us to teach them alone. But do you realize when God puts people in front of you, he wants to teach you? Did you know that? Help me to listen to know what you're teaching me through this. So, how? How do I listen well? And what I've done trying to help this become memorable for us, I'm calling this the ABCs of listening. So I'm going to give four things, A, B, C, and S, right? The ABCs. Ask questions and avoid assumptions. To go back to Proverbs 12, a fool automatically thinks they're right. Their assumption is that they know the person, they know the details, they know what would be helpful. And there have been many times in my own life that I have received encouragement from people without them ever taking the time to actually know the circumstances or to know the details. Or sometimes I will be telling the person the details. And I'll be saying, oh, and there's this and this and this, and there's like not a solution. And they're quick to be like, well, have you tried? Any of you ever heard that before? When you're in a situation where you're like rock and hard place, have you tried is one of the most annoying phrases. Because you're like, yeah, I tried that one. Okay. I have found that in many experiences with people who are going through various types of hurts and pains and traumas, difficulties, whether physically, mentally, spiritually, familial, that they have been most encouraged when I say something like, I'm not going to slap a cheap answer onto what you're saying. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to sympathize. And then they just start talking and sharing, and then you start getting to deeper waters and deeper waters and deeper waters, and then you have an opportunity to love and care. Ask questions. Avoid assumptions. Now, when I also say ask questions here, I would also recommend ask more questions than you think you ought to ask. I've had times before, and probably some of you have had this, where I have disagreed with someone over something, and then after this lengthy time of disagreement, I or the other person has said, hold on a second, what is your definition of that word? Like I've had this on multiple occasions. And then we were like, oh, well, I mean this. And the other person goes, well, I mean this. And then we go, we don't disagree. Oh my goodness. We have been against each other for all this time, and we were never against each other. We could have been hugging, you know. It could have all been okay. Ask questions. Avoid assumptions. I've had situations before where I've said something, and thankfully someone has come to me and they said, hey, you said this. That really concerned me. And then I'll say, oh my goodness, yeah, that's not what I meant by that. What I meant was this. And they said, yeah, but you said. What's that? If love believes all things and hopes all things, right? If you're talking with someone and you say, you said this, and they go, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. If you believe all things and hope all things, don't create a new offense. Offenses come in this world, right? They come. We don't need to make them. Yeah? Ask questions. Avoid assumptions. Because Christ loves that person. Christ died for that person. Christ cares for that person. Christ esteemed you as more significant than himself when he came to this earth. And now we have the opportunity to do the same for others. Now, as I make this point, and this is going to be the longest point, right? As I make this point, I want to address something in a very specific way. I want to address all of us here. There are two types of people here in this room. Did you know that? Talkers and not talkers. Those are the two types of people in this room. And as I make this statement, ask questions, avoid assumptions, this confronts both types of people. Did you know that? The talker, you need to zip it, right? I'm putting myself in that category. Silence yourself more, okay? Think of questions to simplify. Just ask questions. But for others of you who are the non-talkers, you listen like super well. But nobody actually knows if you care about them because you never ask questions. You're not trying to draw their heart out. You're just quiet. Right? You need to learn to ask questions. And you could do so well listening in that. We're both confronted in this. Ask questions, avoid assumptions. Now the next one is be curious and welcoming. Ask questions, be curious and welcoming. I get this primarily from Romans 13 through 15. In the church in Rome, Paul addresses that there's certain disagreements that are existing between the Christians in the Roman church. And some people are strongly opposed to certain practices. Some people are totally okay with those practices. And Paul, in talking to them, reminds them, listen, God is the judge, not you. This is not a matter of gospel, right? So don't judge or despise each other. Because that's our tendency. I know I'm right, so therefore I'm going to judge you. Or you are so liberal or whatever, and I'm going to despise you. That's our tendencies here. And so Paul is confronting that, and Paul's reminding them of who their God is, who their Father is. And then he goes on into chapter 15, and he says these words. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. I love this phrase because as Paul's talking about difficulties in the church, he doesn't ignore that it's difficult. Because what does he say? May the God of what? Endurance. Man, it is so hard to love people, isn't it? Right? Well, God is a God of endurance, and he's going to give you the endurance. May he give you the endurance and the encouragement to live in harmony. And I love that he used the word harmony there, because if you think about a melody line, right? You think about a choir that's, you know, learning a piece, they have the melody line, and then you have all the parts, right? Sometimes what we can tend to do is we can look at another Christian and we're like, you're not singing melody! And in this illustration, I think that Paul is giving, is he's saying the only one who's singing melody is Jesus. Everybody else is harmonizing. And we need to accept the harmony. And we need to find the harmony as a beautiful thing. And so may we live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice, right, we sing together for the glory of God the Father because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as God is at work doing all of these things in us, here's what we should do in the midst of these disagreements, in the midst of the difficulties. This is what we should do. Come here. Welcome one another. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. How has Christ welcomed us? Right? With great love, with great care, listening. At great cost to himself, drawing our hearts out, he has welcomed us. And we have felt free to open our hearts to him. Because he has done so much for us, as Christ has welcomed. That's why, by the way, I add that little phrase, be curious and welcoming. I just put that in there because, like, Paul's emphasis to the Romans are like, don't just come to these snap judgments. Like, care about each other. Listen. Listen for the harmonizing notes. Be curious about it, what God is doing. Ask questions, be curious and welcoming. And consider each person's uniqueness. Too often we treat people like they're us. You can hear Jesus' command, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And let me think of a situation. Let's just say someone's loved one has died. And then you think, do unto others means I would do exactly for them what I would want to be done. So like that, like I would love it if like all the people came to my house and just started crying with me. So that's what I'm going to do for that person. I'm going to get a whole group over and we're just going to show up on their doorstep and we're going to come in and cry with them. How many of you would love that? No? Really? But this person, but Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. But is that what that means? Do unto others means to love, to care, to know them. Like, we want to be known and loved. Which means that there needs to be precision in how we think about people and who they are. Like, God shows us in the scriptures that each person is different in their unique giftings, abilities, personalities, spiritual strengths, backgrounds, hurts, joys, traumas, relationships. And so then the Apostle Paul, when he talks about speaking to other Christians, he says, let your words minister grace to the hearer. I need to know the hearer so that I can minister grace to the hearer and not just say, whoa, 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 I was doing what I would want. But I didn't get to know you. On the flip side, I've had situations before where I'm with individuals and there could be a tension between the two of them. And they would say, well, this person did that, and if I did that, that would mean this. And so then in that moment, I can say, hey, let's just ask them, did you mean that by that action? No, I didn't think that at all. And then that person could either fight that and go, yeah, but if I did that, and then it's, is that person you? We think, process, act in all sorts of different ways, right? Right? Everybody's different. And so the Apostle Paul also, elsewhere in the scriptures, writing to a local church, he talks about different kinds of people in the church. And I don't think this is an exhaustive list, but it's extremely helpful when he says, warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient with all. But what I want to emphasize here is like the unruly type of person, it's a military term. And the imagery of that is you have the army that's standing in line. And the unruly person just steps out. Like, no biggie. I'm still standing here. What are you going to do about it? You know that kind of person? Oh my goodness. Just get back in line and we don't want to feel awkward, you know. But the unruly, yeah, no. We'll see what happens. To that person, Paul says, warn them. It's a strong statement of discipline. But you know what? Did you know you could probably have someone who is faint-hearted and someone who is unruly, and they do the exact same action? But if you warn the faint-hearted, you're going to crush them. Do you see that? The faint-hearted is the person who can just like give up easily. Right? And Paul's saying there are some people that that's part of their constitution. They just like give up easily. Don't warn them. There's a different way to help them. Comfort them. Or the weak person. I'm about ready to give up. I'm about ready to be done. And they're failing in all sorts of ways because they feel so weak. And then you just go, get up and move forward. If you help me, no, you do it. That's not what they need. Do you see this? Every person is different. And we need to take the time to understand, where are we all at, even spiritually? Where are we at? How can I know you better? Are you unruly? Are you weak? Are you faint-hearted? Are you something else altogether? God, give me mercy and grace to ask questions, to be curious and welcoming, to consider this person's uniqueness. And finally, in the midst of all of this, suffer long. Be patient with all. You know, that's my long suffering is my favorite translation of that Greek word that we translate patience. Because that's really what it means. Suffer long. God does not ignore that it is hard and difficult and painful to work alongside people. And guess what, by the way? It's hard, difficult, and painful for people to work alongside you and me. But our Savior suffered. Our Savior suffered just by taking on human flesh and coming to this earth. And the mind of Christ was, I treat them as more significant than me, and I go to the depths. He went to the depths of hell on the cross for us. And Paul is saying, in our relationship, in our community of submitting to one another, listening to one another, we suffer long. May the God of endurance grant you this. Again, it's difficult. And we can have difficulties in listening because, you know, our little, you know, this person's different than me, their boxes are different than mine, and I feel safe in my box, and they're like totally okay with this, and that freaks me out. I don't know if that makes sense. Some of you think like me, that might make sense, what I just said. But if we do have a host of differences that arise from backgrounds and how we think and traumas and all of this, then that should provide us an opportunity to actually care in the midst of long suffering. A lot of times the people that are very difficult to listen to are so because they've had a lot of hurts and pains in the past that they haven't really opened up about. You know, for me, one of the big reasons why I was given that 6-week leave earlier this year was because the pains of the previous years were so great that I was just in self-protective mode. And I couldn't understand or comprehend or even figure out how to interpret what people were saying and how they what they meant by what they said. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for friends who listened. So thankful that in the midst of that time, Mark Buell met with me regularly, listening and asking questions. For my friend Thad to take time out to Zoom with me and Mark and listen. There's a healing power that God works, which actually does emphasize it's God who does the work, right? We want to be a people who are known that God did this, right? And we can just say, I just ask questions. But praise the Lord for what he does. We need to welcome the art of listening, the discomfort of growing relationships. We need to take heed to ourselves and not embrace the enemy's way of anger and attack, but instead watch as God's truth and grace grows us and empowers us to genuinely minister to one another. We need to embrace counting others as more significant than ourselves and rejoice in the God who is at work as we love each other. We can only do this by his grace as we depend on him and pray to him. But he promises that he who began the good work will be faithful to complete it. He will be faithful to complete it. God's mercy and love creates a listening people. Imagine, Ventura, a community that lives that way. And rejoice that God has given us his spirit to live this way. Now take a few moments, however the spirit might be working in your heart, to respond with repentance and prayer to God, and then Jonathan will come and lead us in a corporate prayer of confession.
If you would all read along with me this prayer. Triune God who hears, we need you. Forgive us for how quick we are to speak and get angry. Let us be amazed that you listen to us. Empower us to listen to others and to learn what you have for us to learn. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Now, as we already heard the song, Somehow We Stand Where Angels Fear to Tread, by God's grace, let us stand as we hear this word of comfort and assurance. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
It comes from Romans 15, verses 5 through 6, and it says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a blessed week. Thank you.